Welcome, everybody, to episode 10 of the CCB Health and Fitness Show. I'm your host, Ryan Van Praet. Today we talk New Year's resolutions, some weight loss tips, and a little bit more. Stay tuned. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 10 of the CCB Health and Fitness Show. I am Ryan Van Praet, your friendly neighborhood kinesiologist, Coach Ryan, that guy who rambles on the podcasts. Thanks for joining me once again. I can't believe we're at episode 10 already. This has been a pretty cool journey, and we've had some really great feedback so far. So thank you, everybody who's listened thus far. So today is December 19th, and that means Christmas is right around the corner, and wanted to touch on a couple things today, and probably our second last podcast of the year. I'll kind of do a bit of a wrap-up podcast later this week, but I wanted to touch on a few little odds and ends today. So going back to our last podcast where we talked about fat and muscle and sort of that balance between the two and how you can't change fat cells to muscle cells and vice versa, how they're sort of separate entities. I wanted to touch a little bit more on the weight side of it. This is the time of year where everybody is indulging, which is fine, but it becomes that time of year as well where people start to really stress out about weight and what that scale is going to say come January 1st. And as I discussed last episode, I'm not a huge proponent of weight loss solutions, because to me, weight is such a tricky word, and it's such a word that I think is never really explained properly to people. So when you step on the scale, you see a number and you immediately equate that number with self-worth and health and just a whole bunch of things that really that number doesn't deserve that much credit and doesn't deserve that much attention. You know, what I really wanted to get across today is what that number actually means and what you should really think about the number on the scale when you step on that scale. So, you know, if you've ever weighed yourself in the morning before a shower and then, you know, gone about your day and then later in the day weighed yourself again and you see, oh, I fluctuated a pound or two here and there. Those are extremely short psychological boosts or psychological downfalls, depend on which way that scale shows you. But really, I think what a lot of people are missing is what that number actually represents and in a better, clear way of thinking about it. So the example I always use is if we had two people of the exact same height and the exact same weight standing side by side, and let's say they're both 6 foot tall guys and they're both 200 pounds. One of those individuals could be extremely fit and extremely healthy, and the other one could be extremely unfit and extremely unhealthy. However, if you looked at them on the scale, you would say, well, they're both 200 pounds and they're both 6 feet tall. Well, they both must be fairly equal in their fitness and their health. And they're really not, because weight is just that. It's just weight. It's just kerplunk, you know, that number plop down on a scale. It doesn't tell you anything about what that weight is made up of. So in that case of the two individuals weighing 200 pounds, both the same height, their BMI, their body mass index, which we'll get into another day, I'm not a fan of, it would say, well, they're both equal. Well, one could be very fit, very active individual made up of a lot of muscle mass. So of that 200 pounds, they could have 30, 40 pounds of muscle on them with very, very lean body fat, solid bone structure, etc. Where the other individual, again, would be 6 feet tall and 200 pounds, but might have very low muscle mass and a very high ratio of body fat. But the scale says they're both 200 pounds. So right there is a really quick example of why a scale and a number on a scale doesn't really tell you what the picture is. So what we really want to focus on is what that body composition is. And that's a term I don't think we've used yet, but we'll use a little bit more going down the line, is body composition. So exactly that. What is your body composed of? You know, all of our bodies are composed of skin and hair and muscle and bone and blood and internal organs and water and toenails and toe fungus and all that stuff. Anyways, it all adds up. But what we really want to focus on when leading an active and a healthy lifestyle is the composition being proper. So in order to be healthy, a healthy individual, one that's at low risk of chronic disease, is one that has a body composition that's favorable to a health, a healthy lifestyle. So somebody who has a higher ratio of muscle and a lower ratio of fat, body fat, is somebody that's generally going to be leading towards a healthier lifestyle, or leading towards a healthier outcome. I don't want to say necessarily they're leading towards a healthier lifestyle, because some of them may actually be a bit lucky. You know, genetics can play a role in your baseline metabolism and, you know, the bone structure and general muscle mass that you kind of genetically are predisposed to. So that doesn't always mean they're leading a healthy lifestyle, but in general, somebody with a low body fat and a higher rate of muscle is generally doing something right. You can get away with a low percentage of body fat by, you know, genetics alone, but I haven't really found, a lot of evidence of really solid muscle mass just by, you know, sitting on the couch doing nothing. So, you know, your metabolism and your genetics can maybe predispose you to not accumulating a lot of body fat, but muscle, you know, muscle needs to actually be used, to be activated, to be worked in order to be maintained. And, you know, I can hear individuals saying, well, you know, I know individuals with a lot of muscle mass that don't really do a lot. And yeah, you know, they might look bulky and look like they have a lot of muscle mass. I maybe would argue that muscle mass isn't as functional necessarily, and that it's not as much of a metabolic monster in terms of the fact that it probably doesn't use a lot of energy while at rest as an active, well-trained muscle does, if that sort of makes any sense. And if that doesn't make any sense, let me know. I can certainly try to explain that a little bit better. But, you know, that's what you really want to look at is what is your body composed of? And finding that healthy body composition is really the target, I think, that a lot of people should be aiming for. And that kind of, I guess, brings us into maybe the next topic. You know, we look at the end of the year as kind of a summary of what we've done the past year. You know, our successes, our failures, what we maybe would have liked to accomplish, what we did accomplish, or what we would like to do better at next year. And I kind of wanted to touch on that today. You know, the next episode here that we're going to do to close out the year, we're going to talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions and how to really set your expectations up and really to set you up for an awesome 2018. But what I really find myself doing this time of year is really reflecting back on what the year has brought. And the topic today I really wanted to cover was failure. And that in terms of the word failure, we should maybe boycott that word, maybe reassess that word. To me, failure, or in better terms, the lack of success in achieving a goal, is not a bad word, right? Just because you might not be 100% successful in some of the goals you set out for in 2017 doesn't mean you're a failure. Failure to me is the lack of effort, right? If you basically set out in your mind that something is important to you and you want to do it, but then you put no plans in place and no effort forward to actually trying to achieve that goal or that plan, to me that's a bit of a failure. And it's not a failure to anybody else. It's kind of a, and again, I don't like the word failure, but it's letting your potential be put by the wayside. You know, I'm a huge believer that all of us have potential to do really cool things. And that can be athletically, that can be artistically, that can be academically, that can be socially. But we all have wonderful potential. And I think where a lot of people quote unquote fail, maybe we'll do that, we'll use it in air quotes, where a lot of people quote unquote fail is they have all this potential, and for many, many reasons, they just decide for whatever reasons not to actually go out and pursue those passions and pursue that potential. And when I look back on my year and the things that I wanted to accomplish, things that I accomplished, the things that maybe I could have done better at, I don't ever look at anything as a failure. I look at things that I've done and that maybe haven't gone so well and said, okay, well, you know, I tried. I put that effort forward. What does that quote unquote failure teach me for next year? And you know, I think this attitude, if you can adopt this attitude of learning from a quote unquote failure, learning from a less than 100% successful endeavor or less than 100% achieved goal, I think if you can turn it around from a negative and flip it into a positive and turn it into a learning experience, then you gain something from that, right? You're not beating yourself up about it. You're not thinking, oh, well, that was wasted time. Well, it's never a wasted time because you've learned so, so much. You know, in the triathlon world and in sort of my world, you know, I have to explain to my nieces and nephews, they're like, well, have you ever won? And I said, well, no, I've never won. I've come close in some small races, but in the really big races I do, I'm not even close to winning. And they kind of look at you thinking, well, why would you do that if you don't win? And, you know, that's a whole other discussion of, you know, personal discovery and goal setting, et cetera. But for many distance athletes or many athletes that participate in, you know, solo sports, it becomes a constant, you know, learning curve, a constant, you know, what did I do this time? What went wrong? How can I improve it? But if after every event, you know, a marathoner, let's say you're a marathoner and you're in a race of 40,000 people and you came in 39,542nd, right? Like you came in kind of near the back. If you took that and said, well, I'm a failure. Well, is that person ever going to run again? Probably not. But I guarantee that person who finished way back in the pack, you know, they could either be really bummed out because maybe they had a terrible day by their standards, or they could be the happiest person out on that course. They could be happier than the winner themselves because they set a goal and they did their very best to prepare for it and to look to achieve it. So even then they've learned something, right? Or if you've an individual who maybe had a bad day and you finished back there in the pack, if you say, well, I'm a failure and why do I even bother? You know, then they'd most likely never do that again. But I, in all honesty, I've never seen that in endurance sport because I think it's kind of a breed of people that look at that challenge as a constant learning curve. And I think that's what I love about it personally, but I think that's what I've learned to try to pass along to others is when they're struggling, when you're struggling to find positivity, to find meaning, to find, you know, success in maybe an otherwise slightly unsuccessful endeavor. You know, maybe you set a goal and it just didn't work out the way you wanted. I think it really is key to not beat yourself up. It's really key to say, what did I learn from that? You know, what positives can I take away from that day? What things didn't go well and where can I look to improve? And then use that as actual motivation to go out and try it again and be even more fired up and more inspired to go and tackle these goals. And this is really, really important for beginner exercisers. You know, if you're just starting out on your journey of physical activity, this is huge because in all honesty, you're going to have as many steps backwards as you are forwards at the beginning of the journey because your body is going to be thinking, well, what the heck are you doing? You know, you're beating me up here and I want to rebel and everything's sore and everything hurts. And you know, it's basically as if you got pushed down every single time you exercise. But in your brain, what you need to do is take the positives from that and say, hey, you know what? I felt a little bit stronger this time. It took me an extra few minutes before I started to get tired. You know, I felt a little less out of breath. Even though maybe I'm sore than I want to be, I can still take away those positives and push forward, get back up, dust myself off, and move on to the next workout. It really, really is key to abandon that word failure and really turn every single activity that you do, every single goal that you do, into a learning process, because you can always draw something positive from every single experience. I'm a big silver lining in the cloud kind of guy, and I really, really believe that that is a huge, huge key component to achieving goals in life. It's taking something that maybe didn't work out in your favor and learning from it and pushing on to try it again. Again, the only thing I think is failing is when you have the ability, you have the potential, and you just choose not to try for fear, for what others might think of you, etc. And don't get me wrong, I've been there. I've lived that. I've had those episodes where, you know, you're just too scared to give it a shot because you're worried about what others will think of you. You're worried about what you might think of yourself. But that's really not a life super fulfilled, right? If you're always pausing and you're always worrying and you're always waiting, and you're always looking at those people that are achieving the things that you want to achieve and going, oh, if only I could do that. What you really need to understand is they've all quote unquote failed. Every single person has, right? They've all been knocked down. They've all had terrible days where they feel like nothing has gone right. But what they've all done, what they all have in common is they have all learned from these fallings, from these failings. And they've all taken those lessons and pushed on and moved forward. So I really, really wanted to cover that today. I think that is absolutely crucial as we turn the page into 2018 and as you get started on your exercise journey or really keep it moving along and gaining momentum, is bad days are common. The people that you see having these super duper successes, they all have bad days. You're just seeing them on their good day. And it's really the character you show and the tenacity you show on those bad days that lets others see you on those good days. So don't fear the bad days. They're going to happen. Don't beat yourself up by using that horrible F word, failure. I really don't believe that it's possible. I don't believe it's possible to fail if you try. I think there's always something to be gained from that. So we're going to talk in our last episode of the year about some New Year's resolution ideas and how to try to make that successful. But this is really a big key of it, is to focus on what is working, to really assess the situation and move forward the best you can. So I'm glad you've listened to me once again. I hope you got something out of this. Again, remember, the weight on the scale is just a number. Health comes from what that weight is composed of. And there is no such thing as the F word, failure, as long as you try and you learn your lessons moving forward. All right, feel free to reach out to me again, ccb.healthandfitness@gmail.com. That's our email. All right, there we go. All right, until next time, everybody, have an awesome day. And Christmas time's coming. Go out and drink some eggnog. All right, cheers.